Hello again, basketball gamers, and welcome to episode number 260 of the NLSC podcast. I'm Andrew. I am joined by Ben, also known as Arcane.
Hey, everyone.
And it's a big week, Ben. Big times at the moment in the basketball gaming world. The NBA Live 19 demo is out. The NBA 2K19 Prelude is out next week. And a really big week of news as well with some trailers and previews.
Yeah, it's right at that peak of that season where everything's about to sort of start happening. So, yeah, looking forward to... Obviously, we only know little bits about each game, even with the demo. But, yeah, we'll get to obviously know this week pretty much the guts of both games, I think.
Very much in the fast track to the release of both games at this point. As you say, we've a few blogs left, some information left to learn, but we did get a slew of news this week. It's been a bit tough to stay on top of. It seems every time I've had to stay up late just to try and be on top of the news. And we are looking to record earlier in the week, at least a day or two earlier, to make sure we don't miss any days. Have missed a few too many episodes this year, unfortunately, due to one issue or another. But especially this time of the year with so much breaking news, you don't want to have too long of a show, too long-winded of a show. That's where we're going on 3 hours and still trying to talk about what we're talking about, basically, and and tiring ourselves out and not doing a good show for people. But yeah, it's certainly a lot to talk about. There's going to be more to come. We didn't want to delay. We want to make sure we get a show out this week and give our initial impressions of the demo and everything else that's happened. And I suppose we might as well start with the NBA Live 19 demo. It came out this week at midnight on the 24th of August, US Eastern Time, which was about 2 p.m. our time, Ben. Started downloading it. There was some initial problems with it with Sony. It didn't go live worldwide. Some areas got it first. Being in Australia, we were able to download it pretty much straight away through the direct link. But that was fixed up within an hour or so. That was Sony's problem. That wasn't EA's problem. But as soon as that went live, the demo went out, and we've all had a few days now to have our hands on it, Ben.
Yeah, it's been an enjoyable demo. I think definitely more than a step forward from last year, I think, in terms of the fluidity, the graphics, gameplay, and yeah, just some of the enhancements in the game in itself. So yeah, I think they've taken a big step forward this year with it. Still obviously want to put more hours into it, but yeah, it's been smooth. Even on actually online, it's been a lot smoother than 18 in terms of any lag or anything like that. So that's been really cool to see.
I did notice that when I played a couple of live events that it did seem a lot more responsive compared to last year. The lag was surprisingly bad for an EA game. I mean, I've never had that before with live where it's been that. Well, certainly not since I've gone to a faster internet connection anyway. I mean, trying to play Live 2004 back in the day on a dial-up connection online was certainly that one. The PC, that was certainly very difficult. But in recent years, not so much with Live. But yeah, that lag wasn't there. You can really see that the improvements that have come along technologically with the implementation, I should say, of real player motion combined with the Ignite engine. Animation quality is... I mean, there's some issues which we'll get to, but it is a lot better than it is last year. There's less of a... less awkwardness as they transition between animations. There's the smoothness. There's some times where I feel it... the controls still feel a little bit sluggish, and that may be a slider issue. I haven't really tried playing with the sliders yet, so they maybe have to tweak that a little bit, especially in the one where we can't change the sliders. But generally speaking, there is that smoothness there and feels more responsive. So yeah, I would say definitely it's taken a few steps forward from last year at the very least. More to where it needs to be.
Yeah. I mean, I've had maybe two areas where I could probably see an improvement, like from any point, term of like glitch or anything like that, but both were very, very minor. One was an instance where I was playing with Q that my player got there was a game that I was playing where I got stuck in the key for a moment and I couldn't move. In that sense, it wasn't until a shot was taken really that I could, and it avoided the 3 second in the key thing, so that was good. In that scenario where I didn't get hit with that, and there was probably just a moment one or two cases where I went to cut to the basket from the top of the key, and momentum stopped when I caught the ball, so I didn't get to do that carry on to the basket. I had to actually sort of re-trigger the running motion. So those are probably the two little things that I've noticed so far in terms of anything drastic that would need, maybe some tweaking in that. So yeah.
It does feel that speed and explosiveness may need to be tweaked. I find there's sometimes when the bump animation, the bumps on defense a little bit too much, especially from the CPU. They can kind of put up that brick wall defense, which is, I mean, it's better than than just having blowbys. Like that was a big problem
Oh
with
yeah.
2K18, obviously. And you can still certainly drive past opponents when you've got a player who can slash to the bucket. But I have noticed that there's still a little bit too much bumping going on there. Some dribblers don't really feel as explosive as they should, like a Kyrie Irving, for example. You certainly can cross up your man, and there's some really great falling animations and ankle broken animations, but and they shouldn't be too often, don't get me wrong. So it doesn't need to go too far the other way, because that'll be a problem in and of itself. But I do think it needs to be adjusted a little bit as far as speed goes. As also defensively, the CPU still sticks with you much more than you can stick with them, I find. It does feel like you're a step slow, so I think they do need to change something with the speed there just to even it out a little bit. Because there was times when I found that the lateral movement of my player, maybe more so in the one than when playing the NBA gameplay, but still there a little bit. I think it just needs to be adjusted. And with the defensive assist, I really think it should be more of a defensive crouch, a defensive stance, rather than automatically pulling you in a direction, because I find that often pulls you into a bad direction as well. So I
Yeah,
think
that was something from last year as well. I think the defensive assist, yeah, sometimes pulled you more towards the ball was instead of, to the actual guy that you're trying to guard. Yeah, and I agree. That's one area where it could be adjusted as well, I think.
I'd prefer it to be a defensive stance, much like 2K does, rather than actually being an assist. I think the assist doesn't necessarily assist you in the way that you want. That's the problem with it. As far as other subtle changes to the controls, have you noticed with pick and roll, you don't have to, once they set the pick, you don't have to keep holding it this year?
I've felt like in a lot of cases playing in the low post stuff and doing some pick and roll stuff was a lot better than last year. It had that sort of Live 09 feeling from quick memory when I started to notice that. Yeah, it was a lot better in that area, so that was cool.
I definitely prefer that approach. I mean, Live was one of the first to have that advanced pick and roll control, I believe. Well, they certainly, originally, as you say, back in the 09, 10, they brought it in around at the same time that 2K was doing it, if not a game or two before. But that is my problem with it in recent years, is that although the controls are intuitive enough as far as resetting the pick on either side and going to roll or pop, etc., but the fact you had to keep holding it down to stop the player from slipping, that your teammate from slipping, that is, it's you had to keep doing that while also making your move. It was too many buttons to hold down, I think, and it made the controls very cumbersome and clunky to try and handle that. So I'm glad that they did make that adjustment.
Same.
So, obviously, animations we've talked about. I mean, there are some that are problematic. I think one of the big problems is still animation speed. I've as an example, I'll upload, which, and I'll send it to the developers as well, where I've made a steal with Jaylen Brown on the break, and I'm running it out for a dunk. And just as he transitions into the layup, or turn into a layup actually, as he goes into the what it was in this case a layup animation, but sometimes a dunk, it kind of goes into fast motion.
Okay, so the little sort of rocket speed sort of.
Yeah, so that's still a bit of an issue. Not quite as much, but still for certain animations, just that transition is a little bit awkward, a little bit too fast. So I think that needs to be slowed down just a little bit. So there's still some legacy issues there, but a lot of the animations are better. I'm not seeing some of those really funky looking shots in the post as much this year, which is and they often came from trying to make very stiff turns with the player, and there's still players have a heft and a weight to them, and the foot planting, which is nice to see, but there is still some more responsiveness all around, as well as getting out some of those really awful looking animations. So I'm quite pleased about all that, and obviously the gameplay in the one, it's they've also changed the camera angle, which I really like. It's a lot better focused on the player rather than the ball, so it's I feel I'm not getting as lost as much. So that default angle, I know some people don't like it, but that default angle, which is just called the one for the camera angle for the one, is pretty good.
Yeah, I agree. I think one of the camera angles you could change last year was very similar, and you didn't have that sort of sense of, you know, those blind spots for the far left or right wing for the three corner threes and that. So you didn't lose your man there in that sense. So
I have heard that baseline high still has problems following the ball rather than the player. So I think that needs to be patched. But the default one angle is working as intended.
Yeah, that's good. Well, remember, this is, you know, still a demo slash beta in that sense.
And yeah.
So, you know, this is all for us to give feedback to developers. So, you know, for potentially the day one or patch two kind of thing, you know, that they'll have time to address and fix some of these little concerns or things that, you know, little tweaks and stuff like that. And who knows, maybe, you know, in the actual release of the game, some of these things may have been addressed, because we've got to remember this build is probably, you know, very similar to the build around E3 or slash EA Play. So, yeah, you know, it's a few months old, potentially, in a lot of ways. So,
the most stable build that they could get ready for this time of year to give this this level of interaction, basically. Lots of signature animations for players, much more before. They've talked before about how RPM has allowed for this, and we are seeing it. There's a lot more signature jump shots and things like that that are coming through and looking pretty good.
Yeah, that was one thing Q mentioned to me, and that he, you know, felt there was a lot more signature content from memory when I was talking to him. There was actually one little cool thing that sort of happened when Q and I were playing. Actually, I should mention that. One of our CPU players went into a no mercy mode and basically, like, going for the key and barged over the guy that was defending him and then just slammed it down. It was like, we both thought, it was like, wow, okay. He wasn't messing around. So, yeah, it was cool to see, like, the defender get put on the ground in almost like the sort of barge moment. I did capture it, so I'll have to relook at it and upload it and that. But yeah, you just see this body just drop, and then you just go for this dunk, and that was really cool to see. Good to see some off-ball fouls as well in the game.
Yeah. So, talking about the NBA gameplay, it's probably the area where I have the most concern still, because I think it is better. Because I did see a lot of players on the opposite team using more techniques and strategies, like using handoffs and moving around a little bit, but yep, still kind of a mixed bag there, and I still don't think the NBA gameplay is quite where it needs to be, at least in this demo, as far as strategy, because there's a lot of time when your teammates are just standing around in the NBA gameplay, and even the opponents don't really seem to run plays that often. Shot distribution is okay, more so for the Celtics. When I was playing as the Celtics against the Warriors, DeMarcus Cousins, they were going to Cousins a bit too much. By the end of the game, Durant had 10 attempts. This is, again, in 5-minute quarters. 9 for Thompson, 9 for Curry, and 9 for Cousins. So Cousins was, especially in the first half, they seemed to be going to him a little bit too much, where it really should be Durant and Curry should have been scoring the most points. But that being said, it's okay, shot distribution, but I'd really like to see that strategic element there to NBA gameplay. There's a couple of weird things where the CPU will throw a lot of backcourt passes, backcourt violations with a pass into the backcourt, and little things like that that I just think need to be polished. Times when they just dribble out the shot clock for no reason when the play breaks down. So I do think they really need to enhance the NBA side of things, because, look, I know the one is the hook. I know that's what's getting people excited. But a lot of people who want to make the switch from 2K, that are sick of 2K but would like to make the switch, still want to have that NBA experience in live. So it's really going to have to be something that they need to work on. And the basics are there. Like, you can see that the guts of the game are there. It's just some fine-tuning. It needs to be plays running a little bit more, shot distribution, that kind of thing. But if they can polish that up, Live 19 can be... It's decent in the demo, but it could be even better in the full version.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I haven't played too much of the NBA side of it yet. That's more what I was going to be doing this week, is to spend more time with that aspect of it. I think I played a little bit, but then I went to go take a nap and that. So I was getting pretty tired after being up too many hours and that.
I basically played the one to unlock. I played a few games to see how things were going to go with the one. and then I unlocked the NBA gameplay, NBA and WNBA Play Now, and I've just been playing that since, because that's really what concerns me with Live, is the NBA gameplay moving forward. I think it's going to be a big area for them. Just like roster editing, it really needs to be that traditional experience in there, because the lack of it means that it really only caters to one crowd. And I know they're going for the new demographic and the young demographic and everything, but I think they are really missing out by not pushing for the NBA gameplay and franchise and things like that. It's going to have to deliver to a certain extent this year and certainly in the future to really make a dent into 2K, because it needs to compete on all fronts, basically, because people want that varied experience and needs to cater to everyone.
Yeah, I agree. You want that full-rounded experience, that's for sure. So yeah, I agree. I do hope that it's, you know, especially when it comes to the full retail version, and you know, even after potentially two patches, that those issues are really addressed, and the game does see that improvement in that area. So yeah.
But the tech is there, so I'm hoping that maybe some slider tweaks, maybe some under-the-hood tweaking as well, can do that. I'll certainly be sending it along to the developers, as I know you will and others will as well, sending through that feedback to the developers. So it's worth sending through that feedback just to see what they can do this year, because obviously they have been able to do a lot as far as the tech goes, as far as, you know, player movement and everything in motion. So that was a big thing with the animations. If they can slow some of the animations down, if they can change the game speed, even things out, rebalance it a little bit, then the NBA gameplay could be a lot better. That's certainly my hope, and of course I hope that Live Ultimate Team and franchise have received some attention as well. If not, I think that's really going to be, you know, certainly I'll be disappointed in that. I think it's going to be a big detriment to the game if there isn't sufficient attention paid to those areas. But that being said, there's a lot about the experience, issues aside, that do need to be pointed out, such as the ones we've highlighted so far. You know, it does feel a lot better. I think it has been a successful year for them.
Yeah, you know, the game still continues that fun element, like that, you know, that we got to see a lot last year, and it actually enhances a lot of it. So, you know, they've managed to keep a lot of that formula element, or build upon that formula element that worked last year, and the game being fun and, you know, where you weren't frustrated even when things didn't pan out. So I'm glad they were able to keep a lot of that sort of element, or those sort of things, into the game and still build upon it. But yeah, it's just a couple of little things, and again, like we stress, it's a demo from in that sort of sense, so there'll be elements that will be improved in the actual full retail version in that. So yeah,
that certainly is the hope. I think most of my frustration did come from wanting to see more leaps in terms of the NBA gameplay. In terms of the, you know, the one gameplay, I felt was pretty good. One thing I actually do like is the way they've adjusted steal mechanics so that there's less press steal to foul in this year's game. I thought a lot of the reach in situations were better, that you didn't have to necessarily mash the players together to engage the system. I thought that worked okay in 18, but I like the fact that you can, if you are in the stance and you do see them not really protecting the ball, you can have a swat at it and knock it loose. I think steals are better this year. Probably a few too many steals and blocks, certainly in the NBA side of things as well. But yeah, it's, I do like the way they've changed that mechanic slightly, or updated it slightly, I should say.
Yeah, I think, you know, and some of the varied animations and how you could, like, knock the ball loose and have to sort of fight and chase for it and all that stuff. Aaron McKee is saying that, you know, he got so used to the animations in Live 18, he knew, you know, when he picked the ball and that, you know, how to regather it and all that stuff. So there's, like, that sort of timing element where, you know, now it's a bit more of a learning curve, and that, you know, when you steal or lock it loose, it's not automatic. You got to still try and get the ball. So
there's a bit of a battle. Yeah, yeah. I really like that. And there's also, if you try to over dribble a bit, I saw players lose the ball as well.
Yeah.
So that's and not wasn't too much. It wasn't too badly done. I mean, which 2K was it? Was it 2K16 or 17 where you lost it way too easily?
I think it was one of those two. Yeah, I think
might have been 16, because I remember really enjoying 17, but 16 I remember we lost it a bit too much, and that was frustrating. 2K fixed that up, which was nice, and Live doesn't seem to have gone too far down in the wrong way with that, so I definitely like that. And as for the one itself, it seems to be, with the rise and everything, it seems to be a pretty straightforward story, not too intrusive or anything. And I like that they, that the early stages of it really introduce you to all the different things you can do as far as the court customization and the different types of rules and the different types of challenges you have with Live Run and everything. It was an interesting way of doing it this year.
Yeah, you know, in a case of the how it was done, it doesn't feel like too tutorial based in terms of it. Like some games, you know, when you start up, you know, you might have a slight little intro into the game, but then you start going into like a tutorial mode in amongst the game. I think Borderlands 2 kind of did that. And I think I got bored with that case or example where you had that robot trying to tell you how to do a few things and obviously to learn a few of the mechanics and that. And then for me, it just sort of broke the immersion from the intro element to it. And I was like, I think after about 20, 30 minutes of playing the game, I was like, no, this sucks. And
forced tutorials in a lot of genres really do detract from the game. I mean, you need to introduce players to the mechanics and everything, and that's fine, especially if they're very new to the series. But like you say, when it's too overbearing to the point where it's, where you're still playing the tutorial 30, 40 minutes in and it feels very much like a forced tutorial, then yes, it does detract. But it isn't anything like that. What else? I mean, it is feeling pretty solid for the most part. Quite pleasing, I would say. You know, underselling it by calling it solid. There are things that I do want to see get better. Actually not a fan of the main menu. I think it's been done to really push the one and the rise and everything, which is understandable, although it also makes me concerned that there's not enough being put into Ultimate Team or Franchise. That's my, again, you know, red flag there for me. But it's that, yeah, I preferred last year's menu. This one, scrolling down as opposed to left and right, feels kind of less natural to me.
Okay. I like the layout, like the icon, like the way it's, like sort of the visual element of it, I think it looks better. I can agree with the way it navigates and that can be a little bit more, feel a little bit less natural in that sense. For me, it might feel a little bit more natural because it'd be like scrolling down like a web page or something like that. That's probably how it feels, maybe potentially more natural for me, and as opposed to the sort of sliding like left and right.
I think that the problem is that it hides a lot of the modes immediately.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is something I like about 2K's main menu, is that it's right there for you. I mean, it's not necessarily that visually interesting 2K's menu. It looks fine, but it presents you with, these are all the modes, boom, down the line. And I suppose they do actually, they also list their modes in order of importance, because they put My Career up there, which is the main focus of 2K these days, obviously. As much work does go into My League, etc. But I know. I just think I think a more straightforward traditional menu like that, because there were some people saying online, you know, around social media and such, and in the forums, that they were having trouble finding the Play Now because it's not really apparent that you scroll down at first. So I think that's the big problem with it.
Yeah, I can understand that. I didn't notice it at first. I don't know if it's because, like you said, you had to unlock it sort of stuff. But
pretty much, yeah. I think that was. I mean, that's the problem with the demo. You can't scroll down and check everything out. But
yeah, I think potential tweaks could happen in that, and I think maybe in the case of this, it might be set up this way because it was more about, you know, testing the one, and obviously, you know, server element and it could be,
and I suppose there'll be a continue playing Franchise, a continue playing Ultimate Team on the main menu like there was last year, so next to the live events prompt, I suppose.
Actually, I'm trying to remember from when they streamed the event, the court battles thing, if the menu was slightly different. I could be wrong, but the menu may have looked a little different.
Well, it was a special build or whatever.
Yeah, because they were more using that looks to be like the retail build in that sense, because they could access a few more things. I could be wrong, but yeah, I'm just trying to think back to when I was watching it.
I mean, I'm guessing it's pretty much the same, otherwise this menu wouldn't have Franchise and Ultimate Team grayed out.
Yeah.
Unless it's just to emphasize that they are in the game, just not in the demo. I don't know. Commentary. I have to say I do miss Mike Breen and Jeff Van Gundy. I think that was an authenticity that I really like. I'm not a fan of Jay Williams as an analyst, and some of his ridiculous comments are in the game, which I cringed at. This may be the first time ever in a Bustle video game that I mute the commentary, because I just was not a fan. it's kind of dry compared to Mike Breen, Ed Cohen. I'm sorry. Yeah, I mean, they've obviously done this to push through new commentary, but yeah, I do feel that's a big step backwards in the commentary. I was not a fan at all.
Yeah, I mean, from the few minutes I heard, it was in part refreshing to hear a different voice, you know, and some different lines. You didn't feel like they reused some of the lines, but I could see the delivery style being probably what was like my concern last year or even the year before was with Jalen Rose. The release before, so 16, was Jalen Rose's delivery. It just felt unnatural in its style. Like he was just very much reading it. It lacked that real-time emotion to the situation or anything like that. So, and yeah, it just felt like he was just straight reading it off the sheet.
I will say that, again, Jay Williams' comments are just as stupid as they are in real life. So there's an element of realism. Unfortunately, I don't care to hear them at all. So realism be damned in that case. So commentary, I think, is a thumbs down for me this year. Unfortunately, again, it may be the first year that I ever bother to go so far as to mute the commentary when I play. But, you know, that we'll see how it is. That's just the way it is. Unfortunately, they went with a new team, and I think they made the wrong choice. But again, that is an aesthetic feature in a way. Well, it's audio, not visual. But that's part of the presentation. Other than that, the presentation is fine. Still has the NBA on ESPN. NBA on ESPN on EA Sports, I guess, branding. which is fine. Jalen Rose is back in the halftime report. Nothing really has changed there. I don't think anything really has to change. You can really skip through it quite quickly, which I really like about Live's cutscenes. So I am left with positive impressions coming out of the demo. I guess I sound quite critical with what I've come through at the moment, but I think the big thing is the player movement, that you can see those elements of the game that if you just polish up a little bit more, the NBA side of things can be really great. If the modes have got a little bit of attention, they're going to be really fun and enjoyable. And as far as what they've done with the One, which is appealing to a lot of people, obviously, I think they've struck a good balance as far as story and changing up the gameplay. I suppose before we move on, court creation is pretty awesome. I mean, they've done a really deep job for the first time implementing that.
Yeah, a lot deeper than I thought. It's kind of like when they introduced the roster editing element last year. It was deeper than I thought. And the fact that, you know, there'll be new additions to the things that you can get in terms of the graphic stuff and logos, I'm guessing, as well. So, yeah, it'd be cool to see, again, how it evolves over the year. But, yeah, really pleasantly surprised with it.
I think one problem I have is when you reduce the size of the logo, you can't reposition it for the center court.
That's true, yeah.
So sometimes it doesn't look that great when you resize it. You really have to have it's between having a big logo or a smaller logo that's off-center. I think that's something they need to adjust. I might see if we can put that forward to them, if it'll automatically recenter at least. So I think that's going to work in most cases, that it's recentered.
I think that was a case where you earn that, like the little basketball icon one from the One thing that looks like the sort of shield from where your hype level or things like that, or your icon level, you know, that is off center. It's a little bit lower. So I think, if they can recenter it, that'll be great.
I think everything needs to really be centered. And when you reduce the size, needs to stay centered. That's, I think, the big thing there. Pretty decent selection of logos out of the box, I think, as well. You need to unlock the retro logos, which gives you incentive again to play through that mode and to unlock it. I think that's fine. I think it's a fine way of doing it, to make those a goal to shoot for, so that you can do your own special court. I'd kind of like to see some more generic ones, just like a straight basketball, things like that. Some of the logos I feel are a little bit over the top. I mean, they're nice looking, but I would prefer just to have a simple one. Actually, you know what I want? I want a black EA Sports round logo so I can remake the hangar.
So yeah, that'd be a cool addition.
Might reach out to them and see if they can add something like that. I mean, it's their logo, so I'm pretty sure they can do it pretty easily.
And even maybe like with the whole retro theme, maybe like past logo, like from the old covers and all that stuff, like 2001 and all that stuff.
Yeah, and I think it's a a decent trade-off for not being able to import our own images. And the reason we can't do that is, again, because they need to put in a vetting system that they didn't have time to do that this year. They said maybe in future years. I mean, without that, you can just imagine the kind of crap people would upload. Because,
well, yeah, I mean, we saw it in 2K.
Well, we see it in 2K, even with people, even with a vetting system that 2K has, which the 2K vetting system does keep out gore and nudity and such, for the most part, anyway.
We get
to see Goatsy on there, I suppose. But so that's nice that we haven't seen that. Goatsy isn't nice. It's nice that we haven't seen it on there. But I mean, even with the vetting system, people are uploading photos of people. You know, that creepy team that seemed to be using the girl that one of them had a crush on. You know, it seemed like they were using that as that
creepy stalker crush. Yeah,
Rachel T-shirts and everything. So I mean, there's definitely, the vetting system doesn't get everything. So but with no vetting system at all, it would be so much worse. So I think they definitely need to have that if they're going to have uploading possibly in future years. In the meantime, simply adding new content and unlocking new content, I think, is a great way to go, centering that logo. And I also like that the practice court is your court. You know, when you're shooting around outside of the one, the court that you create becomes the in-game practice court. I think that's a really cool idea. And again, it's putting your stamp on the game.
Yeah, and I like the fact that, you know, you can have more than one. So, you know, you can sort of change it up every now and then.
Oh, yep.
So, yeah, I think that's really cool. Yeah, because I've already made... I technically have three, but I've really made two. The second one was sort of that I just created. It's more just a playable, editable one, just to sort of play with ideas and that. And then, yeah, change up colors and logos and that when I need it. Just testing and coming up with concepts and that. But yeah, I got my primary one and my secondary one.
So when it comes down to it, it's a pretty fully featured demo. It's giving us a pretty good glimpse of the game. The game is definitely showing some improvements. Looking forward to the full version still. Going to be creating some content this year. Want to work on some sliders. Want to see what I can do. Obviously send the feedback through to the development team so that we can be really involved with them and hopefully get some good feedback to them for tweaks and everything. But, you know, as far as a franchise experience this year, I get the feeling that I am going to hopefully have to get that from 2K for my league. I might really enjoy Ultimate Team in this one and also the one and some other elements that we'll be talking about shortly. But, yeah, the demo came out. I think the reception to it has been fairly positive so far, and another positive step forward, I guess.
Yeah, I think so too. And again, it's felt like, for me, a big step, you know. I think people were saying it was... I heard some people say it was live 18.5. I disagree. I think maybe 19.5, maybe a step and a half in the right direction.
It's, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that does look like 18, but the player models and everything, player faces.
Definitely not.
It's definitely a step forward in that. The movement, again, was a lot smoother than last year. I think it's about people getting used to the way the players move in live as opposed to 2K. That's a big thing. Which is not to say there isn't room for improvement, because there absolutely is, and I'm sure it will continue to get better, because they seems to be on the right track. But, yeah, no, 18.5, I think, is not quite right. You know,
no.
It's a step forward. It's a definite upgrade on 18 across the board. So, you know, as far as the features that we can see so far. And, yeah, hopefully we'll get better with patches, because 18 did as well.
Yeah, it did. And, again, with the extra content that they added throughout the year with 18. So, yeah, I think we're... And for a potentially very good year with live in terms of forward progression.
And we have some other information on things that will be involved with live run, 5v5 online and hype, etc. Some of these features aren't available in the demo, of course, because the demo is just a glimpse. They don't want to give too much away. They still want people to pick up the full game to get some of these cool features. Although, again, very full-featured demo, which live has been doing the last few years when they have released a demo, which is great. I also hope they add a couple more teams to the demo. That'd be nice if they did that again this year.
Yeah, I think next week we'll probably get a little bit more of the, going by what they did last year. You know, they added a couple extra teams that we could unlock and play, and was it the progress element, or, you know, being able to create more than one player or something like that in the in the demo and that last year for Luana.
It'll help sell the game, basically, because people, if people are a bit wary about getting it at launch, you can say, okay, well, here's a bit more for the demo, you know, a bit more to check out. And like, okay, well, I can see how that's going. And when they patched the demo last year, I think they've definitely got the right approach there. But as far as these improvements to various aspects of the one, live three versus three live run is, of course, going to have the global courts this year that are once you unlock them, etc. Games are now played to 11 with baskets counting for 1 and 2 in the 3 versus 3, so it's, I guess, more like the playgrounds in 2K in that respect. I think that's the right way to go for 3 versus 3, you know, and have them just be the quick game version. I think that's the good way to go for that.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, well, I think that works. And I think I'll look forward to playing a lot more 3 on 3 just for that element of space, and I think especially the, you know, the type of player build and all that stuff, like, say, like a Vince Carter-type player, you know, you'll have some great Showtime dunks in that aspect, and, you know, you'll get to really showcase that more with a less crowded queue than opposed to a 5-on-5, so I think that'll be fun character model for that mode.
It's going to be that more of a street ball experience, and again, played to 11, best of, you know, first of 11, win by two, baskets for 1 and 2 points as well, so it's not over as quickly, but still over quickly, but not too quickly, I guess.
Yeah.
In contrast, 5v5 live run, which is also going to have the global courts, of course, is actually going to be more of a traditional pro-am experience, more like we've been having in 2K, actually, with 5-minute quarters and full rules, including fouls. Still not going to have the squad options and like the jersey creation and everything, unfortunately. But that being said, I think that's a step in the right direction as well, having 5v5 be that traditional experience, to set it aside from 3v3. And that has been something that the community has really wanted to have. You know, a lot of people talking about having the full rules in Pro-Am, live run as it is. So I think, again, absolutely the right move for that version of the mode.
Yeah, you know, that way the live events can have, you know, be the first of 11 or 21. So, you know, if you wanted to play that as opposed to the more, traditional sort of quarters and all that stuff, I think that's a cool move. That, again, the variety and, you know, depending what you feel like playing and all that stuff, there's that variety of modes in it. And that also transition into court battles and how cool that sounds as well.
Absolutely. Court battles will be the... It's hard to describe it. It's almost like an MMO kind of mode. But the other thing is we have private games on our one court, which allow for custom rules, which also come into play in court battles. But you can have custom rules, including additional points for dunks and layups and other variations on the Pro-Am format. And there's actually going to be more rule sets going to be added post-launch. 38 will be in the game at launch, and more will come through.
So, yeah, and I think from memory that, you know, community feedback of the types of little rules modes that the community suggests and all that stuff will get implemented. You know, obviously, barring popularity or, you know, suggestions, you know, say 300 people suggest or 3,000 people suggest, you know, a type of mode that play with this format and these rules, you know, that might get a priority over one that has, like, 200 or something like that. So, yeah, or 50 suggestions and all that stuff. So, yeah, there'll be that kind of cool feedback and implementation of some interesting ways to play in that sort of sense.
Yeah, majority rules in that situation, obviously,
and
everything. So that remains to be seen what will be added, but 38 at launch. So you can have your own private games on your one court with all those custom rules. But the other way the custom rules come into play is through these court battles. This was just announced at the live event in Los Angeles just this weekend. New trailer came out for that, as well as developer blog. And court battles, again, it's about defending your court and controlling other people's court. And basically comprised of campaigns, which include both the defend and attack phase. And you have to put together an AI squad, basically, that will defend your court, because you can lose your court even when you're offline, because it's play an AI version of somebody's squad. But when you attack, when you're on the attack part of the campaign, you play the games against their AI squad to win, and you have to beat them under the custom rules and everything, and to basically control as many courts as you can, and then you get unique rewards and bonuses.
Yeah, so it'd be fun just to sort of trying to compete with all these different rules and game modes and that in it. So again, extra depth and like seems very well thought out for introduction to it. So it's not bare bones, and the fact that it'll be expanded upon throughout the year, that's what we could ask for in a lot of ways, and better than, again, what we probably would have initially expected.
It does show the depth of the one, and part of me is a little bit disappointed that this stuff isn't going into Ultimate Team and Franchise again. And I hate to harp on it, but that's kind of where my loyalties lie, especially being as burned out on career modes as I am. But they really have thought about it, about putting that extra depth in, as you said, and not having the other person have to be online. I think is a big thing as well, that you can that you're playing it against the AI as far as, and that your court is constantly being defended by the AI, basically, and to do that. We mentioned the custom rules that you can do that make it harder for the to win. There's also what is it they call it, an attacker handicap, which you can place extra restrictions on the attacking team to make sure the game is more challenging and aid in the defense of your court. You set the game plan for your AI squad, the defensive lineup, which is basically the AI plays that you're going to have, and the custom rules. So it's kind of a chess match, I guess, in a way, as far as the defensive side of things, and then. Your skill on the sticks as far as the attack.
It's definitely deep in that sort of sense. I suppose too, like with the AI versions of yourselves in that sort of sense, those obviously cater in for time zone aspects for, playing people around the world. They might not be on at the
Definitely, yeah.
time, so that'll
Yeah.
be good reasoning for that. So yeah, that's pretty cool in that sort of sense. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how that plays out. The difference between how you play and how the AI version of you would play in that sort of sense. So yeah.
So it's a good system, a good mode to have, I think, as far as fleshing out the one and giving you as much. It's not just your average career mode in that respect. I do hope that the league side of things lives up to the hype, and again, Ultimate Team, Franchise, etc., NBA gameplay. That again, that is my concern. I hate to harp on it, but that is what I really think Live needs to not neglect as far as moving forward. But what they're doing with the one, as far as making it, distinguishing it from my career. And making it a full experience of its own, I think they've taken a good approach with it, and all this stuff is great. They're obviously with the upgrade system; they're not doing microtransactions either, which is still good news. Remains good news. This hype system, where you've still got something to shoot for even after you've leveled up your player to 99 overall, which will be possible, and it's an attainable goal with persistence. But you've got hype that has 6 tiers: rookie, pro, all-star, superstar, legend, and icon. Each tier has 5 levels of its own. Raising the hype earns new gear as well as plays for the squad. So it's kind of that NBA Street home court vibe as well, as we've talked about before. So there's, yeah, a lot to the mode to actually unlock and to play with.
Again, with some of the things that they've implemented, it's a little out of the box, like a little thinking outside the box, and in terms of what EA has done in the past. So, kudos for that. In not going the same sort of route with a lot of things, and yeah, trying something different, and again, how deep it is, considering it looks pretty good for its first time.
And hopefully we will get more good news about the other modes and
Right.
further implementation of tweaks and everything this week. Fingers crossed, we'll certainly see what we can do to find out information ourselves and post any other information that comes out, talk about it in future episodes, and have more impressions of the demo. I guess just to wrap things up, the companion app is out, of course, allowing us to scan our faces in. I thought it works pretty well again this year. My scan was done in less than optimal lighting. I did it just basically very quickly the night of the demo to have a face in the game. I look a bit like the Undertaker, especially with the shadow on my face. That is not representation of a problem with the app. Again, that's me doing a scan in less than optimal lighting. But even in less than optimal lighting, it got a lot of my features, nose and cheeks and everything, and even a bit of my beard, although I had to put the in-game beard over it because I've got a light reddish blonde beard, as most people who grew up with blonde hair. Even if your hair on your head goes brown as mine has, the beard still is very light, so it doesn't always pick it up in face scan. So I always have to put an in-game beard over it. But it, you know, it looks okay. I thought my scan, considering I did it in less optimal lighting, got the scan on the first go. It's they've really done a great job with the app, with the face scan app the last few years with it, and this year is no different.
Yeah, for me, like, I've been trying to get a good face scan. My phone, when doing it, it gets to the point where, you know, scanning complete, but it doesn't render the scan on the phone. So I've been doing it on my tablet. But the thing with the tablet is the camera's on the side because you got to put it in, like, portrait mode.
Oh, okay, yep.
And so you're trying to position it and also keep it steady, and it being a larger device and all that stuff, you know.
It's tougher, yeah.
Yeah, so I haven't got one that's perfect. It's just mainly, like, the nostrils, like the side of the nostrils and the lips, and that does need a little bit of work in repositioning or tweaking in that sense. But using it on the tablet, you can really actually see I'll post the screenshots and stuff like that from the difference from the phone to the tablet. Although, I can't do the phone one, can I? But I can post the screen ones from the tablet, and you actually see, like, the detail improvement. Like, I'll post last year's one, the face scan that I had from that, and then, yeah, the one from this year, and you actually the skin texturing and all that stuff is definitely more lifelike, I think.
It's really impressive. Especially compared to our 2K scans, actually. And again, sounds like I'm bashing 2K, but that is one area that Live, I think, has done much better than 2K, is that the face scan app has just been so good, both in the phone and when 2K... Well, I never got the 2K scan to work when it was the camera, but nevertheless. But better than your 2K scan where you look like you've been stung by a bunch of bees.
Yeah. It's like I just stuck my head in a whole hornet's nest in that sort of sense.
Yeah, it's a bit of an allergic reaction on that one, unfortunately. Yeah. which made a really great screenshot when you had the selfie. at the start of last year's My Career Story, when it was quite scary, actually. With that.
Yeah. It was just as terrifying as the crying scene from when I had my first face scan in the...
Living the Dream, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That was something else as well. I think everyone had that was a very ugly cry scene for everyone, I think.
Yeah.
that particular game. And of course, we'll
true definition of, you know, when people say, oh, I cry really ugly, it's like, that's the...
It was an ugly cry, yeah, definitely. Yes. We will get to this year's micro story in a little while. It's... Our impressions of the demo, I think, fairly positive on the whole. Certainly we have our constructive criticism of it, but am looking forward to the game. The last bit of news we have for Live 19 this week, unless, of course, something gets published as soon as we finish recording, which can certainly happen even on a Sunday night. It wouldn't be the first time. But the last bit of news we have this week, for the moment, is the Live 19 soundtrack. I don't have a lot to say about it. I'm listening to it in the demo and a little bit on Spotify before the demo came out as well. Stuff like this makes me feel old and really out of touch with the music scene, but hey, it's fine. You know, I think it certainly works. Sometimes it works a little bit better when it's backed by the game, strangely enough. When you listen to it on Spotify, it's like, well, it's not really my sound, so it doesn't resonate with me as much. But when it's there in the game, yeah, it works. It's strange that it works, but... It's there in the background, and there's nothing that really bothers me with it. And of course, once again, you can actually change what songs show up in the one and the regular game modes as well. So, again, that's a nice option.
Yeah, for me, I've actually liked this year's soundtrack over 2K's one. There's only probably like two or three songs in the 2K soundtrack that I know. One that I kind of like, although, you know, I've heard it a lot. So, yeah, for me, that was a disappointing soundtrack. Live's one, there's a few more tracks that I do like. Obviously, J. Cole's ATM, and I think there's even a Kendrick one in there, or an artist that sounds very much like Kendrick. So that's very cool. I have to recheck the playlist, because I know some of the tracks on Spotify you can't actually listen to because they're not on there. So, and then that was the same with the 2K.
Yeah, I can't see him on there. I can send through the... list for you to have a look at. I'm just having a quick look. Obviously, J. Cole is back on the this year, was going to be producing the NBA Elite 11 soundtrack, of course, back in the day, for those who have forgotten. Big Sean, Black Milk, Injury Reserve, J. Cole, Migos, Nipsey Hussle, Fresher, Thotmos, 24 Hours. Yeah, so obviously, you know, they're going for that that trendy soundtrack, much as 2K is as well. 2K has done the classic tracks in recent years. They're not doing it this year. As I said before, I kind of miss some of the jazzy instrumentals from back in the day, but that's just nostalgia talking, really. I know it's not necessarily the sound they need to have.
I have to go back and find out what that song is. The one that made me think sort of sounds very similar to Kendrick in a lot of ways. So I'll go through the track listing tonight and the actual soundtrack and find what song it is. But yeah, I think it's from memory, from one of the ones you can't actually listen to on Spotify. So
that's basically it for the NBA Live 19 news. We will continue to have impressions and other news as it comes out. Of course, the prelude will be out next week, so maybe next week's show will be more about 2K. We certainly hope you enjoyed our discussion of the Live 19 news and demo for this week. But moving on to NBA 2K19, we did get some big news with that this week as well. We got two trailers, the first of which is the My Career trailer, The Way Back, which seems to be the theme and title of this year's story. And we don't have a developer blog yet on it, so we don't have the full details, but as I understand it, the basic story is that you have a player that ends up going over to China to, you know, to go pro in China and then make their way back. The whole story is about making their way back to the NBA, make it back to the league, to the US, and making it into the NBA. And also includes a stint with the G League. We don't know whether it's just the one G League team, or whether you can go to several ones. But basically, that is the story this year, and the whole "They Will Know Your Name" tagline is about, you know, making it back there and making it big, and they will know your name. And it's looking like a lot better story than last year, Ben, because it looks a little bit more serious and no B-Fresh.
Yes, thank God for that. The trailer may have potentially spoiled too much of it. Like, it looks like we've kind of very experienced the journey of it. It sort of seems like that Ingram story from last year, where, you know, the last two games of the season he got to play after, you know, 10 years in the G League. But obviously a slight differentiation of playing in China first and then trying to get drafted and not successful, then hitting the G League. And yeah,
and if that's the case, does that mean you basically can't shoot for Rookie of the Year? Because that was a big problem in 2K15, is that you're trying to get Rookie of the Year in the 2K. Well, there were many problems with 2K15 story, not the least of which was the arsehole character that you played. But you came in on the. It was an interesting approach coming in that way, but it also meant that your rookie year was kind of a bust, kind of a waste of time. Didn't really take off, and 2K16 was even worse with Living the Dream. So, yeah, that is my only concern here.
Yeah, you know, if there's an achievement to try and get Rookie of the Year, well, that'll make it virtually impossible, unless somehow, you know, you do perform well, unless they do have enough variation in the actual story that you can actually get drafted in the NBA
They do show the draft. So do you maybe get the draft, but then you get drafted, but then you have to you get cut or something, maybe?
Not sure. Well,
I mean, it remains to be seen, because the trailer doesn't give away too much. I mean, there could be a twist like that. But then if you do, see, that's a very canned situation, which I think they really need to move away from.
Yeah.
And that is my problem with it, the potential concern with it. The story looks better, but I'd still rather the story be told on the virtual hardwood than through cutscenes. Although we will get to the matter with cutscenes in a moment. But, I mean, they've brought in all these notable actors as well. Which people have raised the point, if they can do this, why can't they why can't they bring in Charles Barkley for making the donation to the Retired Players Association? Valid question, 2K, just saying. But they have brought in a lot of names. Haley Joel Osment is in there. You know, I don't think we ever thought we'd see him in a basketball video game before. Michael Rapaport, of course.
He sees virtual people.
He sees my players. Michael Rapaport, you know, big basketball fan, obviously, and outspoken on social media and everything, and known actor, many roles over the years. Of all things, I actually remember him from Friends as the cop who dated Phoebe. And
I remember him from Higher Learning.
Yeah.
That was a good movie. It's still relevant today.
Anthony Mackie, Blake Jenner, Ricky Whittle, Mo McRae, Ginger Gonzaga. Yeah, so, you know, these prominent actors that they brought in, which I think is going to work out a lot better as far as the acting, the story, and everything. Remains to be seen how the story goes. We're just speculating, as we said. It boils down to briefly playing in China and trying to make it back to the NBA and everything. You know, it is the way back. So we'll see how it plays out. But I think that is my concern, Ben, is that it's going to be too canned, you know, and that we're going to... Everyone still ends up having the same basic experience
and yep.
Things are taken out of your control because, you know, you're either going to get cut or you have to go to China, all this stuff. You know, there's just that lack of options. And again, if there's not really much of a rookie season, you know, that's kind of a problem in and of itself.
Yeah, I agree. And that was, one really big downside in 2K15 was not having that full rookie experience. So that was, disappointing in that sense. And, I mean, it's good that, a route of potentially being someone international background in that sort of sense, or coming in from overseas. And so there's a sort of slight little difference there. It's, it's not straight out of high school kind of stuff, or college kind of thing. So it's good that there's something a little different. But, I think there really needs to be a lot of variation and players' choice or an action on the court that actually reflects how the story really pans out. And hopefully that's not like 99.5% or 99%, we'll say 99%, everyone's going to go through the same experience.
Mm, yeah. But, there's a couple of interesting wrinkles here with my career this year from what we know so far. Obviously, that's the story. Such as it is, as far as what we know so far anyway. But apparently, cutscenes are going to be skippable this year. And
finally.
And that surprised me, because, absolutely, finally, again. But it did surprise me because, after all, as you noted in a previous podcast, you were the one who brought it up when I mentioned it. I mean, a lot of the cutscenes last year had sponsors and everything. They were almost in-game commercials. So we didn't think this was going to happen. We said, we absolutely hope it does happen, but we didn't think so. But they are going to be skippable, so, and apparently not skippable with having to pay VC for it either, which is even better news. It is actually worth noting that. I think that's a big deal for people who want to play the more streamlined experience. It's really good news. Means that it's probably not going to be as obnoxious as far as sponsorships are concerned. And the other thing that comes as quite welcome news is that we'll actually be able to skip the entire prelude on subsequent playthroughs of my career. Like, if you make a second or third, second or third, etc., my player, you'll be able to skip it entirely. So maybe you can have that streamlined experience in the second or third playthrough, I guess then creating a second player and going on, and then have that more experience, maybe even a full rookie season. So it's going to be interesting to see how that works out. Probably learn more when the developer blog comes through. But if so, that's not a bad way of handling it, actually.
Yeah, I mean, they copped a lot of criticism for it last year, and I think there was something at least 3.5 hours of cutscenes that you couldn't skip last year, from what I've seen on YouTube, that someone had put together the cutscenes. And I don't know if that was including, because there'll be some of the cutscenes you see repetitively, like when you go to, go collect cash, from your agent and things like that. So
sure.
So the experience would have been a lot more. And, that was... Okay, for contrast, The Last of Us had... The first one had 2 hours and 8 minutes of cutscenes. Mm-hmm. And that game's, 12 to... Or say 15 to 20 hour experience in a single story in the game. So for 2K to... go through that, that's a huge amount of cutscene that was unskippable.
Yeah, so, when a lot of them are pretty much the same or obnoxious, it was pretty rough. And that, I mean, that's for The Last of Us, that's already over basically a long movie length. Combined, the cutscenes are basically cut together to be a long movie, most movies being an hour and a half.
Yeah.
I suppose more and more movies are getting longer these days as well. But yeah, and for three and a half hours or whatever it is for 2K18, and unskippable, and as they were, not particularly enjoyable, you know, it was an issue. So I am surprised that they're making skippable cutscenes this year. I'm glad. I'm guessing they have learned. They have listened to the feedback that people are saying. Look, sometimes we just want to get on with the gameplay. We don't really like the story. We're not into it. So they've listened to that. I'm surprised, but yeah, again, very pleased that they've listened to that. But that being the ability to skip that whole intro story, the prelude, is I think really big for subsequent playthroughs. If you don't like the play you've created and want to start over, or let's face it, if there's archetypes that are broken and you need to start over, it's not going to be as painful. So
yeah,
I think it's, you know. I know I'm framing that in a very critical way, but I think they have recognized the problems and the potential issues people have and wanting to, you know, what's really gotten in the way of it, an enjoyable experience. And I think they have made some really good decisions here. So, I mean, we can say, oh, it should have happened earlier, it should have happened last year. And maybe it should, but they listened to the feedback and they did it. So I'm glad they did. I think they're on the right track with that.
Same. But it's still going to cost about 190,000 VC just to upgrade your player to an 85.
I mean, that is the other thing with Micro. I mean, the developer blog is going to give us more information about the story and the mechanics and everything and the basic experience. But yeah, the real problem with my career, you know, cutscenes, you can tune them out. You can turn around and start playing with your phone or whatever. You know, you can...
Go get a drink, go order pizza.
Sure, you can ignore them to a certain extent and all this stuff is fine restarting over. But is starting over going to be painful? What's the grind going to be? What's the VC going to be like as far as the reward system and everything? Is there going to be the difficulty multiplier? All this we need to learn. But that remains a concern at this point, obviously. And that as soon as I saw this information, I thought, this is all great. But, you know, all the rest of it. But all at the same time, if they are listening to that feedback, if they're making it more of a less of a grind, a more enjoyable journey this year. Because look, you shouldn't be able to level up too quickly, because otherwise it's going to feel like a waste of time. Not a waste of time. It's going to be unsatisfying, I suppose, if you do that. I mean, you don't want to have the game a week and already be 99 overall. Is what I'm saying. I mean, that would be ridiculous. But there's a lot of ground in between that extreme and what they did last year. And if they can meet more in the middle of those two extremes, you know, you've got a good progression system that keeps you hooked, much like 2K17. You know, as we have been very critical of 2K18, Ben, in the last 12 months or so, I think everything we've said has been justified. I think we've backed it up with reasoning and everything. But, you know, for people who may listen to this and think we're hating on 2K, you and I, we both spent a lot of time with 2K17 and really enjoyed it, both my career and Pro-Am.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I did put in a lot of work in 2K18 as well. Like, I was, from what I can tell, I was in terms of our prior team, and that I was the further or the one to progress the furthest in the mode. And that
Valo and I did not reach. We didn't get past the first season this year. And I thought about it, but I'm like, game 2K19 is out in a couple of weeks. Do I really want to bother? Maybe I will, just to see, you know, for comparison's sake, if nothing else, for when the prelude comes out, so I really could tell the difference. I mean, that was one thing. Before this week, before the Live 19 demo came out, I was playing a bit of Live 18 again. I had given it a bit of a break because I've played a lot this year, and, you know, like, oh, well, I'm getting a bit tired of the same old thing. It's, you know, getting ready for the new games coming out. But I did play a little bit of it again to make that comparison, which is why I can tell the difference between it. So I do want to probably go back and play a bit of 2K18 just to make those comparisons. But yeah, you got a lot further in my career than I did. You know, you got past the first season, which I didn't. Last year I did. I was pretty far ahead and going into the second season. And also playing all 82 games and 12-minute quarters as well. So yeah. I really put in a lot of time, plus 500 games of Pro-Am. So, I mean, you know, we can't say that we didn't enjoy 2K or put a lot of time into it, which is what I'm getting at. But
even despite, like, 2K17 having a lot of patches and, you know, a lot of changes in terms of shooting.
Issues in that game, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
2K18 just didn't resonate with us. I think a lot of people, and for the same reason that didn't resonate with a lot of people, but we're hearing these things about 2K19, a lot of promising things about gameplay as well. Mike Wong, Baluba, is sharing those on Twitter as well, not just the polls for the tuning, but also some information about the game as well. I'll bring that up in a sec, but yeah, I mean, that is, I guess, the concern is that's the part that is concerning with my career moving forward, Ben, is the balance, the gameplay, and the grinding.
Yeah, and obviously the cost of it. in terms of financial cost.
Yeah, as far as whether it's actually going to be, yeah, what did you say, 190,000 was what they worked out?
Yeah, and I was trying to remember last year how much it was expected to be, to get if whether it was around the same price mark to get to the same, and if we're starting at a 60 again as opposed to, or it was 60 that we, yeah, because it was 55 the year before, wasn't it? How we started off. Yeah, well, yeah, it was.
Last year was 60. They upped it from 55, which was a little kinder, but still, again, you're supposed to be this big deal and successful, and you're rated lower than pretty much the worst, most of the worst players in the NBA. Oh, I'm just seeing if there was tweets
here. I tried to have a quick look in the forums yesterday to try, but again, I kind of got busy with a couple other things, so I didn't get to properly finish trying to search for it. I did spend a little bit of time trying to find out how much it was last year. But I think it was around the same kind of mark, but again, how much are we going to... And the other factor is, too, given the ways that they cut your earnings in terms of how much you can earn per game, per sponsorship, per daily pick'em, whether, you know, the multiplier factor is back for the level of difficulty that you play on, you know, how are these factors going to determine how much you earn and how fast you earn it playing in that sort of thing to get to the, you know, to level 85 or and beyond, in a sense, to upgrade the player in that sort of sense. So I think, yeah, that's going to be a big factor as well. And again, what would be a determining factor whether I do get the game this year later on or do I just skip it entirely? So, yeah.
So looking at some of the gameplay changes that the Blue has talked about. Glass cleaners have been adjusted. They get when they have the takeover activated, they actually get a target on the floor to show where the ball's going to go on missed shots. Hopefully it's not OP, basically. It says every archetype has some kind of mechanism to prevent abuse of their strengths. Slashers degrade when they repeatedly take contact. Perimeter shooters degrade when they have to work too hard to get up a shot. Over-dribbling for playmakers, things like that. So more of it like a fatigue system that they have been implementing in the past. Layup defenses modeled better this year. Lockdown defenders will be able to stonewall ball handlers more frequently than other archetypes. Rim protectors unlock grab blocks and other content. It says alley-oops are more useful in 19 and easier to complete in general. I'm glad to hear that because I thought they were way too hard in 18. I remember some of the lobs we were throwing in 17. You know, when I was lobbing to you from near half court, once I got all my badges up, that was pretty good. So then we tried to do it in 18, even the simple ones weren't working, and so that was really frustrating last year.
Yeah.
They do mention defensively players do a better job of intercepting oop passes. Psychic steals, I think, are still a problem. The last thing we need are more interceptions from the CPU.
Yeah.
So there's some other information on TakeOver that's leaking out through... Well, not leaking out. It's sort of been given out in little nuggets of information on Twitter. You can follow Mike Wong at Baluba on Twitter. Just seeing if there's any... kind of don't want to go into all of it until we get the gameplay blog and we can really dissect it. But dunk contact animations, 85 dunk rating for pro contact animations, 88 for elite, and 75 standing plus 50 driving for contact dunks for bigs. So he's been putting out some of the ratings qualifications.
Yep.
Fatigue having a higher effect, harder to sprint or ball hog all game long. Catch fumbles are basically gone. That's, you know, this is good to hear because that was a real problem last year as well. Where
it was shocking. Like, if they toned it down to, because it was just the excess amount of it, you know, if it was 20% of what it was, then it'd be fine, you know, because it does happen. But just the amount of times that it happened was just...
It was canned. It was just like, it was canned. Speaking of which, easier to make long passes to open players. That was a big problem, trying to, you know, throw it into the player who's got a leaking out for a good, you know, an open look at the basket. Some dribble moves will eat stamina faster than others. Contesting from behind shouldn't affect your shot. And 86 ball handling rating for momentum cross, etc. So basically, once you get around this is from courtesy of Dommy 73. Thank you for compiling this in the forum. As you know, it sounds like the better animations unlock around the 85-86 rating in their respective skills. So I think that's a good way of doing it. Only decent rebounders will be able to get rebounds even if they didn't go exactly their way. Small guys with low rebounding skill would be better off actually chasing the ball instead of jumping right away. Offline, need to time the rebound button right after the first rim hit, a little bit later than in 2K18. Box out being more important, left stick controls in box out, forward and backward to try and get closer, further from the basket. So they've put some work into the rebounding mechanics as well, so hopefully that all pans out, but I just hope that the rim protectors aren't too OP.
Yeah, I agree. One thing too, from what I've understand with the when you're building your player and your archetype thing, your attributes and things like that, the max levels that you'll get to see, depending, you'll see it all happen in sort of like a real time thing, like when you're changing your height and weight and how that affects what your max and minimums are and that sort of sense.
Yeah, they seem to have done a better job of that as well this year and keeping us informed. Because again, that was the problem last year, getting a broken archetype, or especially a broken combination archetype if you weren't a pure archetype last year. And the other big thing, I actually mentioned this in this week's Friday Five, is that there's an achievement or trophy in NBA 2K18 for maxing out a badge at the Hall of Fame level, which is fine. You know, that's a good thing to shoot for. Except some archetypes, especially combo archetypes, don't have any Hall of Fame badges. So if you don't know that before you start, you've got to start over with a new player. Otherwise, you'll never be able to unlock the... You'll never be able to get that achievement and get that high because some players didn't have Hall of Fame level badges. I thought that was a big oversight last year. I hope they fix that up this year.
Same. And yeah, you know, for those who are trophy hunters or award... achievement. That's the Xbox term. It would have been disconcerting, especially with the amount of hours that they would have put into the mode and then having to, again, go through all those painful cutscenes.
skip scenes, I guess, in this year, maybe.
Yeah.
And even for that, or even just simply for having a player that's, you know, if you make a sharpshooting playmaker as I did, you know, it didn't have a Hall of Fame level badge. And it's like, well, there are definitely a lot of sharpshooting playmakers archetype that you would call players in NBA history that you would call a sharpshooting playmaker who should have a Hall of Fame level badge of either shooting or passing. So, I mean, it was a big oversight, I think, in some of the way they put it. Too many OP and broken archetypes last year that they do need to address this year.
Yeah, I agree.
Layout packages this year include defaults, small swing and big, circus, dominant big, floater specialists, long athlete, unathletic small, Crawford, which would be Jamal Crawford, Curry, Gervin, Harden, Irving, James, Jordan, Simmons, and Westbrook. So it looks like they're bringing back some of the signature layout packages this year, which I also like because I thought last year's layout packages were a little bit too generic. They were too dumbed down.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, and there wasn't that as many options in a lot of ways. So, and when I'm trying to remember, you can choose multiple sort of layer packages, sort of like dunk packages, can't you?
Just the one.
Yeah. Okay.
That was kind of a problem. So if you can get the higher tier ones that are signature ones, like a Michael Jordan or LeBron James, etc., you know, you can unlock, I guess, some of those combinations that we couldn't previous years, but not 2K18. Three signature size-up combos, a layup timer. The shot meter is on online for everyone, but on offline you can turn it off if you wish. But I think it's good that they've brought that back. And calling a timeout without clear possession of the ball, quote, should be fixed now.
That was an issue that happened a lot.
Oh, man, so many times in Pro-Am when they'd call a timeout when they didn't have clear possession of the ball. So
did we get it to happen once for us?
I think we did a couple of times, and it was kind of like, well, you know what? It always happens to us, so I don't feel bad about doing it to someone else. So quite a lot of information that's been coming out through Baluba on Twitter. You can follow him for more updates. Once again, Domi73 has been sharing that in the forum. Thank you very much for doing that. And the gameplay blog should be out fairly soon, as well as the more information on Pro-Am and my career, of course, more on the mechanics and the story and everything. The trailer, of course, you can watch. That's been posted in the forum. Speaking of Pro-Am, there's private matchmaking this year, which is a very good way of doing it, with something we wanted to see. Basically allows you to enter a password and directly challenge other Pro-Am squads.
Yeah, I mean, a few moments where, a few times in the last couple of years, we had enough guys to potentially run two teams. It took us, we did try it that one or two times where they would have their two teams and would sort of do like 3-on-3 and that sort of thing. So, if we were to do something like that again, it'd be a lot easier instead of having to
Once
go
we
into a game and
have
quit it.
six players, that if you get all six online, we can do the 3-on-3, which we did, I think, that time in 2K16. I want to say we did that.
Maybe, I think it was 17.
Actually, no, it would have been 16 because we both had NLC logos.
That's right.
So,
Okay.
which we didn't need to unlock tiers of doing that. So again,
That's right.
that's something they need to work out. I think this year with Pro-Am, image uploading and everything, and certainly the tier system and matchmaking. But having private matchmaking, that's a big deal. Privately matched games don't count as ranked games as far as the overall rank and ranking up as a squad, but they do actually. So you can't use them for boosting, but they do actually award you XP, so you can continue your badge progression by playing a private game, which I think is very important that that's a thing, basically, and that
Yeah,
you
yeah.
can continue to have that progression, whether it's 2K Pro-Am ranked, the Playgrounds, My Career, whatever, to Pro-Am walk-on, that it's important that it continues to have that progression across all everything of the connected experience. The other trailer this week is the broadcast trailer featuring Bill Simmons, also Ben Simmons, but Bill Simmons as well, the sports guy from now formerly of ESPN, now of The Ringer. He's joining Kobe Bryant and Kevin Garnett, who returned this year, for guest commentary.
Yeah, and a good addition. And yeah, he from the little bits that I saw in the trailer that yeah, has a definitely a fresh take on some things and a different style in his commentary in terms of from what we've had in the past. So good addition there.
Yeah, with the guest commentary, it can always get repetitive, right?
Yeah.
But you can at the same time, it's a new voice, it's something different, it changes things up a little bit. It sounds like he's got a lot to say about the different Team 2K members, so there's a lot of lines recorded.
Yeah, it's just cool. Yeah, and it's something live, like I think that's one thing with the live commentary is as maybe something that they're looking at adding in throughout the season element is those little tidbits about players and they're sort of little bits about the past where it's not just all about what's happening play to play. There's those little sort of dead spot moments where they could actually talk about something that's happened, throughout the season in regards to them or in past season past and all that stuff. So, I think that's one area that live's commentary could improve in that sense. So, hopefully, again, that is one of the things that they incorporate with the added commentary throughout the year.
It is something that 2K has done very well, having all the different commentary teams in there and having the rotating third man or woman in this case, since Doris Burke is in there as well, having that third person in the booth that rotates and David Aldridge doing the sideline report and having the special guest commentary. It does change things up. I mean, if you hear it every single game, it does get old because that's just the way it is with video game commentary. As you said, Live is looking to do that dynamic commentary similar to what Madden has done. So that remains to be seen how well that will work out, especially with the guys they've got this year. That's just a personal taste for me, but yeah, I think 2K has done something pretty good there with the guest commentary. Obviously, the trailer also shows a bit more gameplay as well, which some highlight plays there. And I like Bill Simmons' writing and everything so much, so he's yeah, good addition.
Yeah, for sure.
The last bit of news we have this week, as of this recording. Just finishing up here on the episode number 260 of the NLC podcast is the situation with my team in Belgium because of the way that the packs in my team work are considered kind of loot crates or gambling with the new restrictions that are in place. If you're in Belgium, you won't actually be able to use premium currency, which is what they're calling VC basically, to buy the packs. You can only use the MT. So that's an interesting change. It will remain to be seen whether Live will also be affected as far as Ultimate Team packs, because you can buy NBA points with money to get packs in Ultimate Team as well. We might be start seeing more games really have to rethink their approach to microtransactions, and if these new restrictions make things better for gamers, and because there is a gambling aspect to these games, to this
Oh, yeah.
element of the games, we've complained about it, and basically we've noted that as long as this premium currency and recurrent revenue, as long as that's successful for companies like 2K, they don't really have an incentive to change anything. But if the law says it, well, it might end up working out in our favor as gamers.
Yeah, I mean, that's the long-term hope that, you know, with more countries recognizing this as a form of gambling, then, yeah, I'm hoping that it'll stem the tide of aggressive microtransactions. You know, I don't mind, you know, a way the team can make some additional revenue in terms of things, but when it's completely obvious that it's a gambling mechanic and an aggressive format, then yeah, I think that's where, you know, things come into question. And again, a lot of it comes down to how aggressive 2K has been over the last recent 3 or 4 years with it in particular, and how bad it was for 2K18. That any form of way that it makes the company sort of have to change their tone and how they try and do these things, I see as a positive, and hopefully keeps up in that sort of sense.
And it's funny, because I guess I've never really thought about it as gambling, or I did previously, because I compared it so much to buying packs of trading cards as a kid. When you think about it, that's a kind of gambling as well, just for kids, basically.
Yeah.
But it's the way a lot of collectibles worked back in the day. In fact, a lot of things, you know, buy this for a chance of a collectible. There were obviously limited odds about the best collectibles and the rare ones and everything. So the concept of... when you think about some of the things we have in modern gaming, loot crates very much like packs of trading cards or old-school collectibles. Microtransactions are kind of like putting money in an arcade machine back in the day. I mean, they're basically modernized versions of the way we were always gouged as gamers and collectors. I think we're just more clued in on it now, and I think they're a bit more aggressive as well. So if these measures do reduce that aggressiveness and make it a bit fairer towards gamers, so much the better. So basically, I guess, thank you, Belgium.
Yep.
And other European countries for really implementing these laws, because I think it is going to start making a difference to gaming and keep game developers honest. And considering how it's gone in cases, then yeah, you know, that's the way it should be. You know, we want to see it fairer. As you said, you know, the revenue stream is there. They've got to make money. They've got to make sure they're profitable, etc. But if it's done in a way that's very shady, really impedes the experience, as it has done at times, then that's something that needs to be addressed. And if it takes the law to do it, I think it's a good move. And certainly you don't want to get the kids into gambling, you know, and get that gambling exactly. mentality, because it's, you know, I spent a bit of money on Ultimate Team last year. I was happy to do it. I was, you know, I got some good results out of it, especially Ultimate Team's got the better odds. I didn't go crazy with it. I don't think I was probably spent more than about $50. So again, you know, I'd spend more than that on a night out, basically. So, you know, you have a couple of weekends in and you just buy some packs like that. And they were all the Legends packs, so it was only the special ones that I wanted. Yeah, you know, it's... I think you need to regulate it to some extent, because some people can't control themselves, and you've got... It's much like a few years ago when all the kids were racking up big mobile phone bills with the downloadable apps and you know, all everything else that was just chewing up the data, especially on prepaid plans, etc. Sometimes kids aren't responsible with the stuff, and the younger gamers, so you got to be careful about this stuff, and I think the laws are a good thing, and hopefully, again, yeah, hopefully it just makes the games better moving forward while still allowing the companies to, you know, have their revenue streams where it's possible. But yeah, just cut down on this gambling aspect.
Yeah. For me, what I'm hoping is, you know, it forces the companies to go back to making the games more about the games and not about, like revenue streams and all that stuff. You know, that's one thing that's been happening with the games in recent years is, and it, you know, the games aren't fun or as enjoyable because, you know, it's not about the experience and the mechanics and the actual game and the gameplay. It's more about the mechanics and the game or the profiteering in terms of recurrent revenue streams and ways to really boost the game and that. So if it's forcing the developers to go back to actual gameplay mechanics and all that stuff, instead as opposed to, yeah, revenue mechanics. Then
it's blatant cash grabs in some cases.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what I'm hoping.
Focusing on the having a great experience, because if they offer a great experience, people will spend a bit of extra money on microtransactions. They will pre-order the games. They will buy the games and enjoy the games. You'll get the money if you put out a product that people want to buy and are willing to spend a little bit of extra money on for DLC or whatever, if the game is worth it. I go back to Fallout. I mean, I've bought all the expansions for Fallout 3, New Vegas, and 4, and I've been very happy with them, with the experience that they've provided. If you add that, if the add-on is worth paying for, you know, I think that's fine. And that's the big thing with DLC and all that kind of microtransactions and everything. If people aren't getting value for money, if it's gambling mechanics, loot boxes and everything, you know, that's when it's a problem. But if it's giving people a great experience, you know, that's fair enough. And everyone wins, yeah. Developers and the gamer.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, again, I'll don't want to harp on 2K, but, you know, there was definitely a shift last year. And, again, I'll stress on the fact that, you know, for all the revenue and stuff that they're doing, you know, the stores they had online, from the Foot Locker, the Swags, the NBA store, and all that stuff, they really didn't have any in-game sales in regards to that, you know, to those things, compared to 2K17. The last time that I remember that there was in 2K18 was just around Christmas time, and then they had nothing the last, well, now, let's see, what are we in? August, so basically 7 months.
Yeah, 7 or 8 months, basically. They had
they had nothing in terms of that kind of thing happening. That, so, you know, there was a step backwards in that. You figure, you know, maybe once a month, you know, one of the stores would have a sale kind of thing, they had an animation sale, but, you know, by that time, pretty much everyone had all the animations that they needed when they had it a few months back. So, yeah, it was just a little too late in that sense.
Definitely, definitely. So, fingers crossed that they do take a fairer approach to it this year. We'll certainly discuss more news and information as it comes along. Hopefully it is good news. But we are just a couple of weeks away from the games, basically, Ben. And, of course, the prelude coming up this week on the 31st. So, yeah, we're getting very close to actually getting our hands on the game, or certainly the demos at least. And yeah, a new year of basketball gaming is getting, you know, just like the real NBA season, getting very quite close to tip off.
Yeah, I'll give the prelude a try. Hopefully, there's more depth and more replayability than last year's one. That's one thing that I have disliked about the preludes, especially last year's one. There wasn't much replayability. In fact, yeah, you could only play it once last year, couldn't you?
Yes, that's usually been the way. Well, you can go back and play 2KU a bit with all the prompts and everything, but yeah, you have to.
They need to add a bit more depth to it. Give us a real feel for the game in that sense.
I mean, I suppose they're confident about it, but if they added a play now mode, much like Live has, just with a couple of games, a couple of teams, 5 minute quarters or something, it just gives people something to play and really get hyped up. You know,
yeah.
You can be playing the demo right up until the release and get really hyped about the game. So I wish they would do that, but 2K demos have historically been very disappointing. So that's, and I guess since they've got the brand strength, they don't feel the need to do it. But it would be nice to give us a fuller glimpse of the game like that, and to give us something to play for those of us who are getting the game at launch, something to play up until the launch, because you finish the prelude in a few hours and you're like, well, that's it. You know, we can keep playing the Live 19 demo. You know, I've done pretty much everything there is to do in the demo so far, I think. I don't think I've completed the rise yet, but I've seen everything that there is, and I can keep playing it to completion, and then after that keep playing Play Now games right up until the launch of Live 19. But with the prelude, if it's anything like last year, you play it in a couple of hours, you get a decent glimpse of the game, maybe, for the start of my career, and then that's it. You can't do anything the rest of the way, so It's a bit disappointing in that regard, or quite disappointing in that regard, I guess.
Yeah, especially, you know, if it's potentially like a 15-20 gig download, then for potentially 40 minutes of playing and another 20 minutes of cutscenes or something like that, then not worth the time.
Absolutely. So that brings us to the end of episode number 260 of the NLSC podcast. Big week in news, Ben. Games just around the corner, as we said. It's heating up.
Yeah.
We yet to hear anything more about Playgrounds 2 or NBA 2K Playgrounds 2 now. So that's also, I'm guessing that's going to come out after, you know, maybe October or November at this point.
Yeah, I think they don't want to steal the shine off 2K19, but that I imagine it would, you know, take too much thunder away from that game. But, you know, they obviously want to probably spread out the releases a bit and not do like what EA did with Battlefield and Titanfall 2 kind of thing when they made that mistake. So, yeah, I think they'll space it out. Maybe just before Christmas, I think they'll probably make the release of Playgrounds 2.
We will cover that regardless. And, of course, if EA decides to throw their hat into the ring with a new NBA Jam, I won't be disappointed about that either. Either way, we will cover any developments. And, of course, the rest of the preview season of Live 19 and 2K19 and the subsequent launch and anything else that's happening in the world of basketball gaming. In the meantime, we hope you enjoyed this week's episode. If you did, we certainly encourage you to subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can also find us on various podcatching apps, Podcast Addict, Stitcher, etc. Search for NLSC Podcast, look for the logo, that will be us. Or you can keep streaming it on the NLSC itself as long as you're tuning in each and every week and enjoying the show. That is the main thing. You can also connect with us on social media. We're on Twitter, at the NLSC. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/the NLSC. We don't post as much on Instagram, but we are there as well, NLSC Basketball. You can also go to the forum, go to the comment sections, let us know what you think about the podcast and any of our articles and other content and news. That's on the main site, of course, NBA-live.com. Keep it locked to us for everything you need for basketball video games. But yes, that is it for this week. Thank you once again for tuning in. Until next time, I'm Andrew.
I'm Arcane.
And we're out, like the prelude will be, very soon.